Okay, praise the Lord. I want to talk this morning about finding peace. You look at the picture on the front cover. That might be peace at the expense of wisdom. Walking down a road with an umbrella when you can see the tornado in the near distance, as well as the lightning. But think about the world around us. We've absolutely got turmoil on every side. We've got, you know, we can look at the news and see the rioting out in other parts of our nation. And at the same time, we had, you know, marchers wanting to defund the police in Burlington this weekend. You know, there's a lot of unrest, a lot of things going on, a lot of turmoil in the political scene, a lot of turmoil in the social scenes, a lot of people upset about the reaction to the virus, how states have been shut down, and even other nations have been shut down, and political unrest having to do with that, and it just turmoil on every side. It seems like every way there can be a division, somebody's trying to make a division there. And in the midst of all the turmoil, in the midst of all of that, sometimes we can get overwhelmed by the things that are going on around us. And we need to get grounded. We need to find peace. Because if we're just looking at the problems, we're missing the solution. Anybody ever seen the movie Patch Adams? How many fingers am I holding up? Anybody remember the movie? How many fingers am I holding? Four! Four! The guy was so upset because people would just see the four. And finally, it was Robin Williams plays the doctor, Patch Adams, talks to the guy, says, "What's the solution?" He said, "Look past that to the problem." When you start, and when you, your eyes unfocus to look past what you're at to see the solution, you know, it, you unfocus, and he says five. He sees five fingers when you're looking past them as opposed to looking at them. He said, as long as you're looking at the problem, you can't see through to the solution. As long as we look at the things going on around us rather than looking past it to see God is still in charge, God is still in control, He has still called us to be lights in the midst of the turmoil. If He's called us to be lights in the midst of the darkness and there's no darkness, what good are we? You know, dun dun dun. We become wasted space. But when we are lights in the midst of the darkness, when we are peace in the midst of turmoil, when we are something calm and encouraging in the midst of a world falling apart, we can be faithful witnesses. But when we lose that focus, we lose the focus on God as being in charge and God as being overall and God as being worthy of praise no matter what's going on, and look instead at our problems, we lose our peace. Isaiah 26 verses 3 and 4 says, "You," that is God, "will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength." We focus on God, we can have peace no matter what's going on. When we find ourselves in turmoil, we evaluate it, not looking at the solution. We're not looking at God on the other side of it. We're not saying, "I don't understand what's happening, but I know God is in control." We're saying, "God, how could you allow all this stuff to happen?" Don't we? You talk to people and say, how can a loving God allow such atrocities to happen in the world? And you'll hear that often. And the answer is that God gives people free will. If God wanted robots, robots can't love. Somebody's completely controlled cannot love. God wants a relationship with people. And there is wickedness in the world, which was never God's plan in the first place. But God had to give people free will. You can eat of all the fruit in the garden, just don't eat that one tree. "Oh, that's the one I'll grab." You ever tell a kid no? And then they wait till your back is turned? It's got to be good. They won't let me have it. It's the wickedness in the hearts. So we have this this world that's in turmoil round about us, and we have the temptation to look at the problem rather than look past the problem at the solution. And we forget that God still loves us. God is still in control. God's still in charge. God is still worth praising. God is still sees the end from the beginning, and he hasn't brought us this far to leave us here. Philippians 4, beginning with verse 4, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Do we look at the turmoil and rejoice? People will give me a hard time sometimes because they'll tell me something bad happened. I say, well, praise God. Like, well, what do you mean? Rejoice in the Lord always. Praise God in every situation. If we praise God in everything, then we don't get wrapped up in what's going on. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. How we react to circumstances, how we react to situations shows people whether how much of God is working through us. Let your gentleness be known to all men because the Lord is at hand. Do I get upset about things and ignore the fact that the Lord is working in the circumstances? Guilty, by the way. You know. We just read, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Yeah, I still have to learn that on a regular basis. God still has to keep me in perfect peace. I still have to concentrate on keeping my eyes on the things of God. I still have to concentrate on focusing on God. And pry my mind off of situations. Because I can absolutely get involved in a situation. I mean, I'm one of those people, I go to a movie and I get very, very involved in the movie. So I jump. So people think it's hilarious that I jump. 1981, maybe. Thereabouts, the movie Excalibur is in the movie theaters. The sword and the stone. King Arthur pulling the sword from the stone. Excalibur, you know. So right after Arthur has pulled the sword from the stone, him and Merlin are in a clearing in the middle of the forest. And you hear other people, you know, knights riding around. You hear a bunch of turmoil on the outside. They're in this clearing. Arthur's got the sword in his hand. Merlin's sleeping. Arthur's got the sword in his hand. And he's jumping and everything. And he turns around and there's a possum on a tree limb next to him. And he jumps. And I covered four rows of people with a bucket of popcorn. Yep, I'm that guy. Okay, I get involved in what's going on around me.
So now I hold the popcorn.
Exactly. Deb holds the popcorn because I will jump. I don't go to horror movies because I jump. Okay? Now I don't go to horror movies because it's really stupid and I shouldn't do that. But back before I was serving Jesus, I didn't go to horror movies because I jumped. Because my ex-wife and I went to see the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Don't ever do that. That's a bad, bad, horrible thing. Even though it's based on a true story of a psychotic, demon-possessed guy. But I'm sitting there watching the movie and I'm jumping so that the people around me are no longer paying attention to the movie. They're paying attention to me to laugh. I got up and left the movie. I told her, I'll be waiting in the car. Take your time. I'm not sitting here for this. Okay. We get involved in what's going on around us and we get our eyes off of God. We lose our peace because we're not paying attention to the Prince of Peace. We lose our peace because we look at the situation and try to figure out how we're going to fix it or how it needs to be fixed and forget the fact that God is the one who sees the end from the beginning, knows all about this, has it all written down in his book, knows everything that's going on, is at work in the middle of the turmoil to touch and change people's hearts. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Think about that. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Now, I'm a semantics guy. You know, words mean something. And if the peace of God passes all understanding, that tells me that it doesn't make sense to have peace in some of the things we're going through. If you think at it from your natural mind, there is no reason in the world to have peace unless we're actually thinking that God is at work in through it, that God is at work in the midst of it, that it doesn't surprise God, that He knows everything about it. He has us engraved in the palm of His hands. He is at work in the circumstances even when we don't see it. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Stop right there for just a minute. How many times do we look at us, do we have things going on and we only see the bad stuff? Well, first off, you got the news where if it bleeds, it leads. You know, they need to sensationalize everything. That's the society. But are we looking for the feel-good stories? Are we looking for the things that are praiseworthy? Are we looking for the things that are virtuous or of good report? Because they're there too. They're just being overshadowed and masked by somebody wanting to make merchandise out of stirring up trouble. And this is not new. This has been going on since the Garden of Eden. Maybe shortly after. But it's been going on as long as there have been human beings walking on this earth. Because it's fully set in the heart of men to do evil. It tells us that in Genesis, before the flood. God looked down, saw the heart of men was set to do evil continually. That's why God sent the flood. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's still an opportunity, even in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the hardship, in the midst of everything seeming to be falling apart, to focus on God. And the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul's example before Timothy was to keep, Paul kept his eyes set on God. Paul had some times where he slipped. Don't get me wrong. You know, cause there's that verse where Paul looks around the room and sees half of them are Sadducees and half of them are Pharisees, and he steps up and stirs up trouble. There he's being brought to trial and he tries to turn the focus on other people. It is for the hope of Israel that I'm called before you for this day. Just to put division between those two groups. So these things happen. We all go through turmoil and trials in our life. And we all go through opportunities to get distracted by what's going on rather than to focus on God to bring us through it. Proverbs 3, beginning with verse 1. Says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace will they add to you. If we pay attention to God's word, if we pay attention to the law of God, if we pay attention to His commands, it says right here, length of days, long life and peace will it add to us. Because we get our focus off other things, we put our focus back on the things of God. In Psalm 19, it talks about how the statutes of the Lord are, talks about the statutes of the Lord, enlighten the eyes. They give strength to the bones. They encourage, they lead us, they guide us. All of these things are in Psalm 19. The word talks about, Psalm says in another place, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word will direct us. Goes on for length of days. Okay. And verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them upon your tablets of your heart. Mercy and truth. He says, grab onto those things. Don't let them get away from you. Me and maybe some of you sometimes get so focused on justice we forget mercy. You know, the Bible says, You know, what does the Lord require of you? It's in Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? Do the right thing, be merciful to those who are messing up, and walk humbly before God. Not, you know, desire mercy, do justice, you know. We get that backwards sometimes. We want to enforce justice. Things should be such and such a way. At least in the royal we here. I get my focus wrong. I lose track where I'm supposed to do what I know to be right and have mercy on others because God has had mercy on me. And walk humbly before God knowing who I was, who I've been, where I've walked, and knowing that it's God's grace that I'm allowed to stand today. Much less allowed to stand in a pulpit, allowed to stand, period. Because I should have been dead. There's been a lot of times I should have been dead. Or I should have been crippled, not able to walk. I can go through those for you too. But here I am. God has me here for a purpose. God has each of us here for a purpose. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Do we think about that? As we walk doing what we know to be right, as we are merciful to others, as we trust God, as we let mercy and truth not, or don't let mercy and truth forsake us, but we bind them about our hearts, that we will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Scripture says, who is he who will harm you if you do that which is right? There will be people that will do that, but who is it? It's a person that's an enemy of God. But if we walk in ways that we know God is calling us to walk, if we do the things God is calling us to do, if we find peace in the midst of the turmoil because we trust in God, then we can go forward with strength and have favor both with God and man. Then it goes into trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Don't we need direction? Don't we need guidance? Tells us how to do it is to trust God. We started this in Isaiah. You know, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Here it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't try to figure things out by yourself. Don't try to figure out how things need to be or what's going on. But trust God to guide us through. Because if we only focus on the problem, again, the four fingers from Patch Adams. If we only focus on the four fingers, if we only focus on the problem and not looking for a solution, we'll never see what God is doing in the background. We'll never see how God is bringing things around. And we'll get wrapped up and lose track. In Romans 5, beginning with verse 1, Paul talking to the church in Rome says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. He says, because of what Jesus has done on our behalf, we can boldly approach the throne of grace. We can boldly come into the presence of God. We have access. So we don't have to be wrapped up on the outside. We don't have to be focused on the problems. But because of our faith, we have peace through God by able to walk into His presence, come into the presence of the Lord, seek His face, come into an audience with the Holy One of Israel. And get that peace and get that comfort and get that direction and get that guidance. Get that calmness in our spirit. To help us find the peace in the midst of the storm. He says, and not only that, we also glory in tribulations. Now, wait a minute. I get that we have peace, but we have to take pleasure. We have to glory in the tribulations. Knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit and has been given to us. When we put our focus on God, even when we're going through difficult times, even when we're going through hardships, even when we're going through turmoil, we can relax and trust the fact that God is bringing us through it, that He has not left us alone in it. He is continuing to guide our steps. And when we do that, we begin to see a change in our lives and change in our hearts. We begin to see to have the compassion built into us as other people are going through difficult times, because we know what it's like to have having gone through it. We can trust in the midst of whatever the turmoil happens to be. In the King James, it says, tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience hope, and hope makes us not ashamed. And I always get the picture of a bunch of cogs working together. You ever seen gears working together? How you turn the tribulation a whole bit to get patience to go click. A lot more tribulation, click. By the time you get to hope, there's been a whole bunch of this, a couple of clicks in the next one. That's how I picture it. It may not be that way. That's how I picture it. It's like, it seems like we go through a whole bunch of tribulation to get a little bit of patience. And in order to get a lot of patience, we have to just keep on going through that tribulation. You know? But God is at work even in the midst of it as the gears are meshing, and God is not wasting the tribulation. Tribulation happens. In this world, you will have tribulation, Jesus says. Peter says, don't be dismayed concerning your fiery trial, which is to beset you, because the same temptations are accomplished by your brethren that are in the world. In other words, he says that you're going through a bunch of stuff. So is everybody else. The difference is you're going through a bunch of stuff with the hope that is in God, and with the comfort that comes from God, with the peace that comes from God. Because everybody is going, we all have the same newspaper. We all have the same news channels. So the same thing that comes out, if it bothers me, imagine it bothering somebody without the peace of God. Not that I have all the peace of God I need. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is people who have no hope are just completely inundated by all of this. And we are called to be lights in the midst of the darkness. Guess what? We have darkness all around us. We have turmoil all around us. We have problems in our nation. We have problems in our state. We have people that are in desperate need. And here we are, we have an opportunity to be lights. We have an opportunity to reach out. We have an opportunity to be hope to them. They're going through the same exact thing, only their gears are disconnected. Their tribulation wheel is turning, but it's not clicking the patience. You know? Praise God. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given it to us. We have the Holy Spirit, therefore we get to that point of the hope. They don't. They need a light. They need comfort, and they need a witness. We are called to be faithful witnesses of the love and trust of God. Psalm 4, beginning with verse 5, says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. How many people around us say there's no hope? Can you believe all this mess? And come up with all kinds of solutions that are not godly of fixing the problems. Not that we also don't sometimes come up with solutions that are not godly for fixing the problems. Who will show us any good? Where is there any hope in the middle of this? The only hope in the middle of this comes from the Lord. Comes from the Spirit of God touching and turning the hearts of people. Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. For I will lie down. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O God, make me to dwell in safety. Do we have trust that God is the one who keeps us? God is the one who's guiding us. God is with us even when everything about us seems to be falling apart. When we have turmoil on every side, do we trust that God is the one who still has us engraved in the palm of his hands? God is the one who is still at work in us. We can find peace because we're finding peace in God. We find peace in our heart because we trust that God is still in control. We trust that God is not surprised by anything that happened. We trust that God is still guiding and God is still at work. If we lose that trust, then we lose that peace. If we find ourselves without the peace, we need to re-examine whether or not we're actually trusting God in the middle of it. Do we trust God in the middle of the turmoil? Yes, it's a struggle. I admit it. It is a struggle. But knowing it up here helps to actually act on it. You heard the old saying, fake it till you make it? I'm trusting God for this to happen. Turmoil, turmoil, turmoil. I'm trusting God for this to happen. But could keep going back to it. I've talked before about God working forgiveness in my heart and the situation, and I won't go into the situation now, except that when it came up, it was a lot of, Lord, your word tells me I must forgive. I will to forgive. Work it in my heart. And it was a long time before it actually clicked, but it did click. I willed, I determined to be obedient to God's word, and I kept bringing it to God. Lord, I want to forgive. I believe what your word says. I know I must forgive. Lord, work it in my heart and continue to bring it to the Lord. And then all of a sudden, one day it was done. I couldn't tell you the process it took for it to happen. I don't know what God had to do in me, but I know I was willing to let God work it in me. When we see the turmoil around us, we don't may not have the peace that we need that comes from trusting God. But if we continue to say, God, I know what your word says. I know that you will give me peace. I know that the things that are going on are temporary, but my relationship with you is eternal and I'm drawing close to you. Your word says you will give me perfect peace if my mind is steadfast on you. Help me, Lord, to have my mind steadfast and stayed on you. That no matter what's going on around me, I have that peace. Whether it's the tribulation or the patience or the turmoil or whatever is going on. That no matter what's happening, I can still trust in you. I still rely upon you. And continue to pour our heart out to God to draw close to Him. And He will begin working it. Those gears will begin clicking. That tribulation will begin working patience. That patience will begin working experience. That experience will begin working hope. And hope makes us not ashamed. God is at work. All the time. Now the question is whether or not we're joining in the plan. We're trusting Him to take us through. Go back to Philippians 4, beginning with verse 6 this time. It says, be anxious for nothing. Don't be in turmoil about anything. First off, we can't fix it anyway. We have to trust God. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Does God know exactly what's going on in your life? Yes, He does. But in obedience to His word, we come before Him saying, God, I thank you. I thank you that you haven't left me. I thank you, Father, that you're still at work. I thank you, Lord, for your love and for your blessing. I thank you, Father, that you promised to never leave me nor forsake me. And I come before you, Father, and these are the cares of my heart. These are the things that are weighing me down. I know that you know about them, but these are the things that are just burdening me. Father, help me and guide me. Let your request be made known to God. Not that He needs, that He doesn't know and needs us to tell Him, but that we need to unburden our heart and trust that God is going to take care of it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, again, doesn't make sense. Doesn't seem like it's all going to work out. It seems like it's just going to keep getting farther and farther apart or falling more and more apart. That law of entropy, which says that things will fall apart. You know, exactly how the law of entropy works. It's a law of physics.
That class was a long time ago.
Yeah. But the law of entropy says that things will continue to decay and continue to fall apart as time goes by. So we might expect things to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. But trust that God is still at work. God is still the one. So it's these things that surpass all understanding. They don't make sense, but it will guard our heart and minds through Christ Jesus because we're trusting God no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what the situation is. And again, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, change our focus to the from the problem to the good things. Change our focus from the turmoil to the people that step out and help one another. Change our focus to, I don't know if you've seen any of the pictures of, there have been several of them, of a young child that's approached a police officer and wanted to pray for them. Can I pray for you? And pictures of, you know, big burly cop, little kid, can I pray for you? or different things that happen, the things that are of good report. As we focus on the things where God is showing His grace, God is showing His mercy, and God is working through people, then the turmoil just seems to get lesser and lesser. And we get that peace that passes all understanding. That finding peace in the midst of the storm comes with trusting God no matter what. And knowing that God has shown Himself faithful. Looking back over the times where God has already done it. And having that experience and hope manifesting in our lives of what God has already done. We can find peace in the midst of the turmoil. We can find peace in the midst of a storm. Because we know that God has brought us this far, and God is faithful. And He who began the good work is faithful to complete it. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Father, that You are our peace and our strength. Lord, that You are our guide and our shield. That no matter what's going on around us, You are not surprised by it. But Lord, that You have brought us to this point for a purpose, that You are still at work, that You are still God over all, that You are still worthy of praise. So Lord, we just give praise and thanks for all it is that You've done and continue to do, knowing, Father, that You are gracious in all of Your ways. We give You glory and praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.